Asylum Fantasy Sports Network. Welcome to Thursday night. And with Thursday night comes the Fantasy Football Consistency Show with yours truly, your host Bob Lung, talking consistency in fantasy football. Every week we'll be doing this, and every week we'll be having a special guest. And I just wanted to go through, before we get to our guest, I want to go through the schedule. For those of you who already know and are listening every night, then that's great. But for those of you who don't, you can listen to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Network every night. And on Monday night, it is the Sports Rants with Chris Heel. On Tuesday night is the Asylum Sports Show with the Honorable Flieger and Briggs, who bring you their show every week. And they got some great stuff. If you haven't heard these guys, make sure you do. Wednesday night, for you fantasy baseball guys, and I know I need this because I'm in one league and my team stinks, Pine Tar Talk with Ben Samuels and Mike Valverde. My show, of course, on Thursday. Friday night, if you're into racing, it's Racing Times with Alan and Robin. Saturday is the Dynasty Dudes with Russell Clay and Nathan Powell. And Sunday night, the Mad Scientist with Nick Ficarelli. And he always has some great guests on, too. One of these weeks, we're going to get Nick on my show. So he's a busy guy, so he's tough during the week. But we'll get him on at some point as we move through the season. But tonight, we have a very special guest, one of the fellow colleagues of the site that I'm also writing for now, which is so-called fantasyexperts.com. This guy is our NFL draft expert. He wrote some great articles, so if you have a chance, get over to so-called fantasyexperts.com. Read his breakdown of the draft. And when he wrote these, I told him I had to have him on to talk about the draft, and it is our SCFE's own Jack Delaney. Jack, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Bob. I was actually listening to the podcast with Corey Parson, and I found out you were a Browns fan, so I have to get it out of the way that I'm a Ravens fan, so hopefully that
That's
will
okay.
not have any tension
okay.
in the
they
podcast.
They used to be Browns. They used to be Browns. Now, I live in Canton, Ohio, home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is a cool town to live in if you're a football fan. But the problem with living in this area is that you have to be a Browns fan, and therefore I am. And I've worked through it. I have a lot of therapy. Doctor says, you know, I won't have to take the pills forever, but, you know, we'll see. But thanks for coming on. So let's get right to it. I think you said it best when you said that the draft was pretty boring. After last year's draft with Manziel and the Browns were trading like crazy and a lot of teams were trading, you know, there was all kinds of talk about Chip Kelly basically trading everybody except Herschel Walker to get to the number one pick, so, you know, or number two pick so he could get Mariota, and didn't happen. So went pretty much as planned. I think there were some picks that went a little sooner, a little later than normal, probably more on the defensive side than offensive side. But let's get right to the number one pick. That is Jameis Winston out of Florida State. He goes to the Buccaneers. Tell me your thoughts. What do you see happening there? Does this hurt? Does this help the value of Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans, and company? What do you see, and what are your thoughts after now that we're a couple weeks out?
Yeah, I really like him at Tampa, and I'm kind of glad that he ended up there, at least for his career's sake. I think Vincent Jackson's going to receive a boost. I think Mike Evans is going to receive a boost. And he has a big tight end in Austin Seferin Jenkins. He also has Doug Martin and Charles Sims. Doug Martin, it looks like he might get phased out a little bit, but Charles Sims is a pass-catching back, so that'll just help him do a little dump offs and kind of take some pressure off of them. And he's also, of course, in the NFC South, which hasn't been too hot in terms of defense and stopping anybody. So in terms of a rookie season, I think he'll probably be a little outside the top 10 in scoring leagues just because he's, you know, he'll have his bumps and bruises to get through as a rookie. But I don't think he could have ended up in a better spot than Tampa.
Let me ask you this. You know, while we talk about the draft pick himself, talk about the effect on guys. Like, I've seen Mike Evans ranked in the top 10 for this coming year. Do you see that? I'm not sure I'm feeling that yet. Vincent Jackson is always inconsistent, and we won't get into my stuff tonight. But so I'm not worried about him. He'll be inconsistent. He won't be on my team anyway because that's just the way he rolls. But Mike Evans turned it on at the end of last year. He earned about 9 quality games in the last, like, 12 weeks. You know, he really looks good and looked like kind of a receiver that could break out in this upcoming year, but I'm not sure I'm ready to rank him that high. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think he had over 10 touchdowns last year, which is going to be a lot to replicate. Vincent Jackson, I believe he had over 1,000 yards last year. And one of the biggest things is actually the tight end, Austin Seferin Jenkins. He was a little hurt last year, and he didn't have a big impact, but they're going to try to move him in a little more. He's 6'5". I think he's like 260, and he's actually pretty speedy as well. So I think Evans is going to be more of a timeshare, just Winston. He might latch on to a guy like Jackson just because he's a veteran, or he might kind of take advantage of a pass-catching back like Martin or Sims. So I think the top 10 is just going to be difficult because the ball is going to be spread around a lot, but I think he's a bright player in the game. But, yeah, top 10 is a little much for me as well.
Okay, and I agree. I mean, that was my thought when I saw some of these rankings and some of these early-on ADPs for these guys, and I'm like, I just can't bring myself drafting a guy like Evans ahead of somebody like Randall Cobb, T.Y. Hilton, those kind of people. And that's where he's ranked ahead of. And I'm just not feeling it. So I'm kind of with you on that one. All right, let's just go to pick number two. Marcus Mariota going to the Tennessee Titans. It was the obvious pick. I think everybody and their mom knew it was going to happen. What do you think about him? How successful will he be? Does he have enough weapons in that team to make him a successful, maybe not necessarily fantasy quarterback, because I don't think anybody's jumping on that for any, you know, if he would have went to the Eagles, maybe a whole different story. Going to Tennessee, I'm not sure his fantasy value is going to be real high, but what about the guys around him? Kendall Wright, the wide receivers there. Speaking of Delaney's, and I can't think of his first name, the tight end. He'll be there too. He had a pretty decent Delaney Walker. I knew there was a Delaney in there. Delaney Walker, had a decent season last year with Mettenberger being the quarterback. What are your thoughts there with Marcus?
Yeah, I'm not big on him this year, and I don't know, down the road we'll just kind of see how he has to fit in. On Fantasy Football Calculator, he's going at the end of the 12th round. Similar guys, you can get Carson Palmer before him and Nick Foles. So if you're looking for a backup, I'd obviously rather have Palmer or Foles. But I actually like Delaney Walker. There's kind of that, not stereotype, but just sort of the tight end being the safety blanket for the new rookie quarterbacks or the new quarterbacks. And he's a huge target, and he had a really good year last year, like you said. I think Darrell Green Beckham is interesting. I don't know if they're trying to recover from the failed Kenny Britt experience, but he's kind of similar kind of build. He's 6'5", 237, and he ran a 4.49. So that's a real interesting weapon, but I don't know how effective he's going to be in his first year. And he hasn't played football for a while. So I think it's exciting to see some of these new weapons and these rookies come in, but I'm still not really sold on the Titans' offense as viable fantasy options.
Right. Well, and I think the other issue they have in Tennessee that while he hasn't been great over the last year or so, at least the Buccaneers have a decent running game in Doug Martin and Charlie Sims. The Titans have Bishop Sankey, which of course, was like the hot item last year and he failed. So, there's not much in the way of running backs there to even keep a team honest. So I have a feeling that, Mariota may be on his back quite a bit if teams keep blitzing him, if they can't get some kind of decent running game to keep him, keeping teams from jumping the line on him. So, all right, let's go to pick number four. Probably the top wide receiver easily, even though I think people will argue. And that's Amari Cooper going to the Raiders. Now they have Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, and James Jones. As you mentioned, a good trio for Derek Carr. All of a sudden now Derek Carr is becoming the hot, sleeper pick at quarterback, and for good reason. I mean, the kid's a young kid. He's talented. The Raiders always seem – they're kind of like the Browns. They always seem to screw up even when they get a good thing. So we'll see how this works out. But what are your thoughts? Was this the right pick? Was he the right pick at wide receiver? Or should they went with Kevin White? Should they went with DeVante Parker? What was your thoughts?
I think it was a good pick because he's a little more polished. And he obviously played a lot of ranked teams during his college career. They actually got rid of James Jones, I believe, on Monday. So I think this time boosts his value. Yeah, this boosts his value even more. He's just going to be the go-to guy for Derek Carr. And I was looking at Derek Carr last year, and I believe he completed the seventh most passing attempts. So he's not afraid to throw the ball, but I think people still have that stigma that you just want to completely avoid any player on the Raiders. But I think Carr has that full year under his belt after being a rookie, where some of the people in that draft class don't. And I think they're actually placing weapons around him that are going to help him develop and grow. And the running game's a little bit suspect with Roy Helu and Latavius Murray and with Trent Richardson in there, but maybe they'll be able to figure something out. So I think he has a pretty high ceiling entering 2014, and I think Cooper's going to benefit from Carr growing, and they're just going to help each other out.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Cooper will have a nice year. I mean, he might have a year like a Mike Evans did last year, where he'll start off a little slow, getting used to the NFL and that kind of stuff. But I think he'll come around. They'll probably start gelling a little bit and probably put together a decent second half, as most rookies do. All right, well, let's move. And while we're on the rookie scenario here, now we go to pick number 7. The Chicago Bears took Kevin White. I love the reactions of Jay Cutler there on the website. You know, the Chicago crowd there went crazy over this pick, and for good reason. Very talented wide receiver out of West Virginia. Now he gets to play on the other side of Alshon Jeffrey. They have Matt Forte. Even Jay Cutler can't fail, right?
One would think, but when kind of looking at Cutler and Carr, I think Carr has a high ceiling, to whereas Cutler could just completely self-destruct and this could be it for him as a starter. So that's obviously going to affect Kevin White's ability to produce in his first year. But something else I was kind of looking at was Adam Gase. He's the wide receiver coach in Denver when Eddie Royal was there. And Eddie Royal has actually been averaging 704 receiving yards over the past two seasons in San Diego. And Matt Forte, he had 102 receptions last year. So there's a lot of passing targets and a lot of mouths to feed. And Martellus Bennett in Chicago, still in Chicago as well. So there's just a lot to feed in Chicago. And the uncertainty behind Cutler, I think, pushes White down a little bit. So I think Cooper, he's going to have the better year. I mean, White could still have a good year, but there's more uncertainty surrounding him than Cooper.
And I agree. True. All right, so we go to pick 10. The first running back pick since 2009 in the first round literally goes in the top 10, and Todd Gurley, tough running back coming out of Georgia, had the knee injury, a lot of questions, but he goes to the Rams. Zach Stacy tweeted, yikes, and then was traded about 2 days later, maybe a week later. Anyway, but so he's gone. So Gurley basically is going to be handed the Rams. The Rams there, I mean, they have Trey Mason, but you know, it's going to be Todd Gurley's show. It's a whole new offense there. I mean, they have Nick Foles, and, you know, they should be an interesting time for them. You know, you know Gurley probably best of all of these guys. Tell me about, do you think this guy can step in and be a starter in the NFL and be successful?
I think he can. I think the Rams were looking for a guy who could kind of do it all as opposed to throwing in Stacy and Mason and Ben Cunningham. So this is a guy who can kind of handle all the workload. He's explosive and he's a playmaker. The only thing for the fantasy season, there's a lot of debate if they'll even actually use him in the first year. So if you kind of think of the Josh Gordon scenario where people are just stacking him and keeping him, and then a week before he came back, they're wondering, oh, should I trade him? Or, you know, just – they waited all that time and they didn't even play him. So I don't know if people are going to have the patience to kind of keep him on their bench and see what he can do. But 6 is their bye week, so I think week 7 would be kind of a timetable for his return.
Right. Okay. All right. So let's move down to the next offensive pick. And that was number 14, DeVante Parker. I heard that this kid is just as talented as Cooper and White and will be a stud in the NFL. That's some of the things I've heard from other people. He goes to a good team, a kind of a team on the rise. Ryan Tannehill and the Dolphins last year started to make some noise. They had Mike Wallace. They lost him in the offseason to the Vikings. They have now Devontae Parker. They have a real up-and-coming stud young kid in Jarvis Landry. Greg Jennings, they have Kenny Stills as number three. Greg Jennings probably, in my opinion, probably won't be gone, won't be there too much longer. But they added also Jordan Cameron from the Browns. This is a heck of an offense. Lamar Miller was a very consistent running back last year. There's a lot of offensive firepower there. And playing in the AFC East against the Patriots and those kind of folks and the Jets, you got to like the pick. You got to like where he's at, and you got to like the potential of the Dolphins' offense this year.
Yeah, I think this is definitely a plan that they know they have to get past the Patriots, and they're going to do it with offense. Tannehill, I kind of called him out as a sleeper this year, and I think that kind of blew him up a little bit with getting Jarvis Landry and some of their other picks that they had, but I would have liked to see him go to Minnesota just because he played with Teddy Bridgewater. I think that would have been interesting. But yeah, Ryan Tannehill, right, he has a ton of weapons right now. And I don't know exactly with all these players how he's exactly going to latch on to a certain guy or how the offense is really going to work. But Tannehill himself has a ton of weapons to be impressive. And Devontae Parker, he's a guy you want to keep your eye on, but you wouldn't want to put too much faith into him just because they have, like you said, Kenny Stills, he's a deep threat. Jarvis Landry had a good year last year. Jordan Cameron's a big target. So there's just a lot going on in Miami right now.
Exactly. All right, so we go to pick 15, the second running back drafted since 2009. They moved up to get to this spot. They drafted Melvin Gordon, running back out of Wisconsin. All kinds of comparisons for this kid. Heard some good, heard some bad about this kid. Heard that he's a good player, but he's not as fast as people think he is. He got caught in the secondary a lot. A lot of comparisons. Obviously, the fact he's going to the Chargers to LaDainian Tomlinson, I don't think it's that close. I don't think he's that good. I don't know what your thoughts are. I think he definitely brings a better running game, best running back they've probably had in a while. Ryan Matthews wasn't bad, but he also was hurt all the time. They still have Danny Woodhead to be the third down back. What are your thoughts here on Gordon?
Yeah, they kind of had Ryan Matthews in there. They're hoping he was going to be with Daniel Thompson, but that obviously never worked out. One of the knocks on Gordon is he doesn't catch the ball a ton, but Danny Woodhead's there for that. So looking at the opportunities last year between Brandon Oliver, Ryan Matthews, and Donald Brown, just those three guys ran the ball 319 times. So just for the sheer opportunity that Gordon's going to have, I think he's going to be he's going to be a guy in the top 20, and he's going to be a guy you want to consider in your leagues for next year.
So you would be okay with drafting him as your running back two?
Yeah, I would. He's going currently in the middle of the sixth round, so I think that's an okay spot to grab him. I see some people, though, are grabbing him in, like, the fourth round, and I think that's kind of way too early. So maybe not necessarily super rely on as a running back, too, but maybe a flex guy or a guy just to add a little bit of depth. But I think he's going to work his way into a starting fantasy guy.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at a ranking here with a round of running back number 17. So, yeah, top 20 RB2. They have actually Gurley after him at number 24, so that's interesting. All right, so let's keep going. Let's take a look now at our next wide receiver. I was really hoping that the Browns was going to take this guy, and I always screw up his name. Is it Aguilar Nelson?
I think so, yeah. I heard a couple different ways.
we'll just call him Nelson, the wide receiver from USC. Talked to some folks about this kid. They said he's the real deal, real talent. I really was hoping for the Browns to take him at 19. They took Cameron Irving to kind of shore up their offensive line. Yeah, I get that. But I was really hoping that this kid was going to go to them. But anyway, he goes to the team that probably gives him the best fantasy value, and that's going to the Philadelphia Eagles and the Chip Kelly offense. Is this kid that good? I mean, that's what I hear. What are your thoughts on Nelson?
Yeah, I think anytime Chip Kelly actually picks a player he wants, you can expect big things from it. So if you see all the guys that he shipped away, if this is the guy he brings in, then he expects him to be the real deal. I think Jordan Matthews said that he expects a kind of timeshare and that they were, you know, going to move the ball around a lot of different players, but I don't know if that's what Kelly just told him, because his offense seems to have one main guy, whether it's Macklin or it was DeSean Jackson. They posted similar stats when they each had their best years. So I think Nelson is the guy who's going to be the main benefactor of Sam Bradford.
Do you believe Bradford's going to be the starter? Do you think that they are going to try him out? Do you think that Sanchez could step in? Sanchez didn't actually do all that badly at the end of last year. Do you think Bradford's a better quarterback? I mean, it seems like he should be, but he's never been healthy enough to really see any consistency out of him. Can he take that offense and do something with it?
Right. And you see, like, Michael Vick was in the offense, obviously, and then Nick Foles. And Kelly, as long as you just follow that system, it seems like they'll be decent. Maybe not necessarily fantasy studs, but they'll just be decent guys you can start or have as a backup. And as long as they follow the system, I think they'll be okay. So as long as Bradford can avoid injuries and just kind of get a knack for everything, I think they'll be okay, and I don't really see Sanchez jumping past them.
Okay. All right, let's go to pick 26 in the first round. Your Baltimore Ravens took Breshad Perriman, a wide receiver from UCF. What's your thoughts on this? Right now, they're basically sitting with their main starter. They lost Torrey Smith in the offseason. So Steve Smith, the ageless wonder, is now your, quote, number one receiver. Marlon Brown's in there in the mix. Is Perriman walk in and become number one? Will it take him some time? What's your thoughts on him outside of the Baltimore Raven bias?
Right. I think he's a guy that Mark Trestman's really going to be able to work with. I think he's going to see enough targets from Flacco to be maybe a top 20 receiver. He might fall a little bit out. But I was kind of surprised that they went offense so early with round one and round two. But when you look at the AFC North, there's not necessarily – it's sort of an aging league. So the need for pass rushers, it might not be as immediate for the need for offense. And I think Ozzie Newsome kind of realized that, and he realized that this was a draft that he was going to load up on some offensive weapons for Flacco and try to get us back into the playoff pictures and push us past the Broncos, the Patriots, or whoever it may be that we face. So I like the pick, and I think he's going to have a good year.
Yeah, and you brought up a very important name there in Ozzie Newsome. If anybody knows how to do the draft and knows how to analyze a draft, nobody does it too much better than Ozzie Newsome himself. So, yes, excellent concept there. All right, so let's look at pick 29. The Indianapolis Colts, and I think this was the one that kind of surprised me the most. They already had T.Y. Hilton, the Colts. They already had Andre Johnson that they got in free agency. They had this young kid, Dante Moncrief, but they go out and grab Philip Dorsett, wide receiver out of University of Miami, Florida. Why?
Yeah, I heard he's going to be involved with the punt returns and stuff like that, but I didn't really look in to see if they had that big of a need, especially in the first round for it. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me either, and apparently T.Y. Hilton is griping a little bit about Dorsett being there and saying he's ready to compete, he's ready to go against them. So it didn't make a ton of sense to me. I still wouldn't be down on T.Y. Hilton or Andre Johnson. I don't see Dorsett immediately stepping in and doing anything great.
Because I was thinking Dante Moncrief had a decent year. I mean, he did what he needed to do. He played well, when he was on the field. I don't remember anybody ever saying much bad about him. Obviously, you got to believe that Andre Johnson years are numbered. But I just felt like, well, you know, I'm thinking 2 years, maybe 3 years for Andre Johnson, not, you know, 1 year and done, and then Dorsett moves in. But maybe that's what the Colts thought there, and hard to tell because, you know, we weren't there to figure that out. All right, so first round's over. Who do you think got the best picks from a fantasy standpoint, not for the team, just for fantasy standpoint, in the first round?
For fantasy standpoint, I would go with Amari Cooper and Melvin Gordon would be my second pick behind Cooper.
Okay. Any one of those that you think that might not do as well as people might envision?
I think Gurley, just for the simple fact that he's not going to be able to play a lot of games, so people are going to stock up on him, and then he's just not going to perform how they think he is and just get rid of him. So I think he'll avoid a lot of headaches and a lot of wasted time if you just kind of steer clear from him in year one.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a look at round two. So round one, a lot of the top players went. Some people then did fall down to round two and were snatched up. One of the first ones was T.J. Yeldon, running back, and he got picked up by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Obviously, this made a lot of sense. Jaguars are sitting there with a Toby Gerhardt, who never really did run anywhere near like he did in Minnesota when he had the chance. Denard Robinson was an interesting scenario last year. He kind of came on in the second half, was pretty decent in PPR leagues because of his speed, but they went out and got T.J. Yeldon, what are your thoughts? How does this kid compare to Melvin Gordon and Gurley? Was it a good pick for them in the second round? Too early? Too late?
I think the Jaguars, they definitely needed a running back. I don't know if I would have gone with Yeldon, but he's not necessarily the fastest guy, and he doesn't have a ton of power. And Toby Gerhardt, he obviously got the power, but he's often injured. And same thing with Denard Robinson. I mean, he's a fast guy, but he's little, so he's going to get hurt. So I think if they can work some kind of the three-way committee into effect and have each guy go out there, it'll be successful. But I don't know if he's somebody to expect a lot out of in his first year, even throughout his NFL career. I think they just realized that they needed to get a back who can stay on the field and won't be injured, and I think that's pretty much the reason they picked Yeldon.
Okay. Jets then did probably something even more surprising to me than the Colts picking a wide receiver. The Jets, after they already grabbed Brandon Marshall in the offseason, they have Eric Decker, but they go out and grab Devin Smith out of Ohio State. This bummed me out because I really wanted the Browns to get Devin Smith in the second round. That was my hope, that they would grab this kid, being a hometown boy, you know, state boy. Didn't happen. Were you surprised by this pick for the Jets?
Well, I thought the Jets would go maybe offense in the first round, so I think everything that just kind of fell to them, they just kind of played it out how the draft was developing. I think it is interesting that they added another receiver, but I also think this is kind of the show-me year for Geno Smith, so they don't want to have to say, hey, we didn't give him enough weapons. So they got Decker now, Brandon Marshall, Jason Morrow, and they have – got probably like nine running backs, I think, now. Stephen Ridley and Chris Ivory and Blau Powell and Zach Stacy.
Well,
now,
they got Zach Stacy got traded there,
yeah.
There's enough weapons around Geno. If they're not competitive this year, I'm sure they'll be going for a first round pick for quarterbacks next year. All right. So Browns got dumped there. So then I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe we can get one, but Dorial Green Beckham goes to the Titans. Which added to the, like we talked a little bit earlier with Marcus Mariota, that gives them another weapon to go along with Delanie Walker, Kendall Wright. You like this kid? Do you think this was a good pick for them?
Yeah, I think it was an upgrade from what they did in the offseason. They added Harry Douglas and Anthony Fagiano, and those are just kind of warm bodies. So I actually kind of thought they were going to keep Mettenberger and just see what he could do for a year and then look for somebody else. But I think this is an investment in Mariota's future. I don't know if it's necessarily a wise investment and how it's going to work out, but I think at least it shows that they care enough to try to give him some weapons.
Okay. All right, Carolina Panthers then pick Devin, I'm assuming it's Funchess, wide receiver, tight end from that team up north. We won't mention that since I'm an Ohio guy. They now have Kelvin Benjamin on one side, they have Funchess on the other side, Greg Olsen. This team all of a sudden has got a little more offense for Cam Newton to work with. I like this pick by the Panthers. Really going to help out that team, I think, offensively. Benjamin really never had a good number two guy on the other side. This, I think, will help his numbers. Greg Olsen is always a safety valve, but I think this helps these guys quite a bit. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily look to start him in fantasy leagues and really draft him, but I think it does help Cam Newton. I think he's going to run the ball more, though, because he's not going to enter the season hurt. But it does just give him more weapons in case something would happen to Olsen or Benjamin. It just kind of spreads the field a little bit more. So I think it really will help to boost the value of Newton.
Detroit Lions then come back, and I was a little surprised with this. You're not a fan of Joakim Bell. I am. I was surprised they grabbed a running back, but then the more I looked at it, the more I kind of looked into it, this guy is basically another Reggie Bush, am I right?
Right, pretty much. And Joy Bell, he's coming off, I think it's an ACL cleanup and then some other kind of cleanup in his knee, and then they had Theo Riddick, who just kind of caught passes. So this is a guy who can just do a little bit more, and like you said, the Reggie Bush, he's just kind of like a playmaker. So the Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate and Eric Ebron are running down the field. It's just going to leave this guy wide open to catch some passes and do some big things in fantasy, I think.
Right. Your Ravens came back with another offensive pick, and Max with two X's, Max double X, Williams at tight end. A lot of love for this guy. Read a lot of good things. Obviously, we know Dennis Pita is pretty much he's injured. His time may be done. You know, this guy comes in, may not play a lot this first year, may just kind of start working him in. But we know that Flacco loves his tight ends. Again, with not having the Torrey Smith anymore, they're probably going to use this guy quite a bit, even if Pitta's healthy, maybe with a two tight end kind of offense like the Patriots have run in the past. What are your thoughts on Max?
Yeah, I like him. The only kind of thing I'm concerned about with him is he only played two seasons in college, and then I think he was a redshirt but he redshirted. So he only has two college seasons under his belt. But when they went to the Ravens went to the Super Bowl, Pitta had 61 receptions for 669 yards and 7 touchdowns. So it shows how much Joe Flacco really relies on his tight end. And you never really want to look at rookie tight ends in fantasy anyways, but this is a guy down the road you can have some nice value.
So we've got through round two. We're going to head to round three. Before we head to round three, any of these guys you think may surprise folks in their fantasy performance in 2015?
I think Jarrell Green Beckham's going to be hyped up a lot, and I think he's probably going to disappoint more than he's going to make people happy. I keep an eye on Abdullah. I think he's going in the 12th round on fantasy football calculator, and that's a nice pickup for him there. So he's somebody I keep an eye on.
Yeah, especially in a PPR league. We know how much they love Reggie Bush when he was there. Obviously, he's wore out his welcome, and he's moved on. You know, Joakim Bell did a nice job of filling that void. He's a power back. He doesn't catch too many balls out of the backfield. Riddick really never did a very good job of filling Reggie Bush's role. So I kind of agree with you. I think Abdullah can be a solid late round pick. Like you said, maybe a flex guy, and the more he gets into the offense, he could be a really nice PPR addition to your league and could really benefit a lot of teams down the stretch, both playoffs and regular season. So, all right, well, let's move into round three. I mean, obviously now we start to get some guys who, you know, obviously have made it this far. You got to think, well, there's not a lot there, but, you know, we all know there's guys that get picked in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounds, Tom Brady's, you know, all these kind of guys that come in and may not have an impact in that first year, but, you know, they get in the right place at the right time with the right folks around them, and they can be very solid and very beneficial fantasy players. Early round three, Raiders pick a tight end. They take Clive Walford at tight end. Surprises me because I thought Michael Riviera wasn't a bad tight end for them last year. Are you surprised by this pick?
Yeah, I was surprised, too, and it's kind of the same thing with Latavius Murray a little bit. I actually didn't rank him in some of my initial rankings, and everybody that was going crazy and asking why I didn't. It just seems like the Raiders, they either know something about these guys that we don't, that they don't fully trust, or there's just some issue that they don't see him really producing for the team. So, yeah, I was surprised by it, too, and again, definitely don't want to draft rookie tight ends, but I think he's another weapon for Derek Carr, so that, again, it boosts the value of Carr more than it does anything else.
Another surprise pick was Tyler Lockett. He went to the Seattle Seahawks in the third round. John Moore of at the CFX writes, Tyler Lockett looks a lot like the next T.Y. Hilton or Antonio Brown. That's high praise. Is he worthy of that? Is this guy that good?
Yeah, looking at the Seattle offense, my big thing is that Graham's there now, and I have here that over Russell Wilson's career, there hasn't been a receiver in Seattle that's had over 1,000 yards. So just for
right.
that simple fact, I don't think the team's automatically going to change into some huge, you know, pass-heavy team or anything. So I think he could be a good player, and obviously getting him there, the Seahawks saw something they liked, but I wouldn't look for anything huge from him in year one.
Right. I mean, he's a kick returner, punt returner, so maybe that's what they're expecting for this kid first year. I mean, let's be honest, Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse have never scared anybody at wide receiver. They do a good job. They work well within the system. The Seahawks win because they get these guys involved at the right time and the right place on the field. You know, they're successful. They're kind of like the Patriots. They get the job done, but nobody becomes a real star. Like you said, the addition of Jimmy Graham certainly makes things really interesting. Whether or not it helps the pass receivers, I don't know. I got to think they'll probably use Graham more like a pass receiver, pretty much like the Saints did, just not throwing as often. So we'll see on that. Houston Texans take Jalen Strong, so he gets to go to the Texans. They have DeAndre Hopkins, but they definitely needed somebody on the other side with Andre Johnson going to the Colts. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins did a really nice job last year, fantasy-wise, consistency-wise, with really crappy quarterbacks. But I think their quarterback situation actually got crappier, if that's a word. Can any receivers be successful in Houston with either Ryan Mallett or former star Browns, Brian Hoyer at quarterback?
Yeah, the only thing that's worth mentioning is Bill O'Brien. Familiar with both those quarterbacks. He coached them at some point. I really do like DeAndre Hopkins, but I think he's just going to have to limit the mistakes of the passing attack, and Arian Foster is going to have to stay healthy and just move the ball
right.
for him. I think he does have a chance to be kind of a lone red zone threat, but he's going to have to fight for it. But he has done some nice things with an inconsistent quarterback situation. So I still have high stock in him for this next year.
Right. My only concern is last year he probably got more looks because Andre Johnson was getting the double team or getting the better cornerback on them. Now he becomes wide receiver one. I'm kind of worried that teams now are going to obviously change their focus to him. If Jalen Strong doesn't take some pressure off of him, it could be a long season for Hopkins. That's what scares me the most, but we'll just have to wait and see. And again, I assume Mallett wins the job, but who knows? Well, either one of them I'm not too excited about. All right, Atlanta Falcons take a running back. I thought this was a good pick. I mean, Devonta Freeman's not a bad running back, but he's not that great either. They take Tevin Coleman. He's been compared to a Darren McFadden, and we all know what McFadden can do when you're healthy, which is exactly what you wrote. So what are your thoughts on Coleman? Do you think how does he fill a role there? Is he a pass catcher? Is he a power back? Does he match with Devonta, or is he going to be more of a side-by-side comparison?
Yeah, I think he can be a guy who is the main back for them. He's praised for his pass protection. And one of the big examples I always use is Monte Ball and Noshawn Marino. And everybody was really high on Monte Ball, and he just couldn't pass block it. And that's where Noshawn Marino kind of stepped in and why he had his break here. So it's kind of similar looking at Coleman. I think as long as he can protect Matt Ryan, he's going to get the opportunities. And obviously he's not just going to be in there for pass blocking. So as long as he gets more opportunities, I think he's somebody you might want to keep an eye on in fantasy leagues.
But he's not a pass catcher, you're saying?
I mean, he can kind of do a little bit of everything, but he's
okay.
kind of a bigger guy. So he's just going to I think they might test out to see how everything works with Devonta Freeman and having him in the backfield, but I think Coleman is a guy who has enough value in pretty much everything that he can push Devonta Freeman out of the way, basically.
And what happened to Antoine Smith? I mean, he looked like he was going to be, you know, basically Steven Jackson's replacement. Didn't work out. That's why Freeman now becomes the main guy then with Tevin Coleman?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense with Smith. They'd have him in there, and it seems like he'd have three carries and go up for 100 yards, and then they just wouldn't play him. So I have no idea what they're doing with him. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a situation to watch.
Yeah. Everybody and their mom knows that, you know, Atlanta's going to throw the ball. They got Roddy White. They have Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. Harry Douglas is gone, but, you know, they'll just fill in another guy in there. But obviously they're a pass first, run second offense. So we'll see. Like you said, that's where, as you mentioned, Coleman will probably be in there more if he's a better pass blocker than the other guy. So New Orleans Saints drafted a quarterback. Drew Brees must be done. They take Garrett Grayson, obviously planning for the future. Brees isn't going to get any younger, so we know at some point he's going to be retiring. What's your thoughts on Grayson? Is he a good pick? Is he a good quarterback? Is he the future, or is this just in case?
Yeah, I think this is just in case. I don't think this quarterback class was great. I'd actually like Brett Hundley a little bit more than Grayson, but obviously it's not reason for fantasy owners to panic. Drew Brees is just going to try to stay out there and play as long as he can. And the team's moving more towards a running game anyways, and they're not trying to make Drew Brees throw downfield all day. So definitely not a reason to panic, and I think it's just kind of a pick to just kind of stash and see what happens.
Kansas City Chiefs in round 3 take Chris Conley, wide receiver. In your article, you have a tweet by Adam Leventon who says, physical freak wide receiver Chris Conley has all the tools to become a dangerous vertical stretcher. Isn't that why they picked up Jeremy Maclin? Do they need two of these guys now?
Right. I didn't even look into – I know he's a good player, but I didn't even really consider too much his impact. Obviously, Alex Smith, he likes to throw the ball to Jamaal Charles, and he likes to target tight ends and Travis Kelce with – actually being healthy this year to start the season. I don't think it makes any sense in fantasy to draft this guy.
The Browns take a running back, not a wide receiver, a running back in the 3rd round. They grab Duke Johnson. Nathan Zagura says, national media heaping praise on the pick of Duke Johnson. Ray Farmer wants competition. He'll have it. Is Duke Johnson the future running back? Is he better than Terrence Smith and Isaiah Crowell, who didn't do all that bad as a duo last year? Is this guy a better running back, and why?
Yeah, it's going to be hard to tell. I like Isaiah Crowell a lot heading into the season, and Terrence West, he just kind of seems to need a decent amount of carries to get going. But I think this is basically a pick to see who is the guy of the future. And I would lean more towards Crowell, but I think they're just going to throw these guys out there and say, hey, who's going to lead us and who's going to be the most beneficial back that we can use. So I think it's just going to be a competition to start off. And, again, I'm leaning more towards Crowell, but Johnson could also work his way in there as well.
Well, and the Browns were definitely one of those teams last year, like you mentioned, with the hot hand kind of thing. West would have a good game, then next week Coroa would have the good game, and it kind of went back and forth. Sometimes it was first half, second half. You're right, not that anybody should have any faith in any Browns players when it comes to fantasy sports, but it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. I was surprised. I don't know if there just wasn't any wide receivers worth drafting at that point that were worthy of a 3rd-round pick. Not sure. Like I said, a lot of people seem to praise this pick. I guess we'll just have to wait and see if it was a good idea or not. Cincinnati Bengals then take Tyler Kroft at tight end. Surprising after they drafted a rookie tight end a couple years ago named Tyler Eifert, who everybody thought was going to be a long-term tight end there. That didn't work out. Why did they do this again? Anybody know?
Yeah, I don't really know what they're doing with that position, and I think they're just trying to find a guy who can stay healthy. It seems like they're always trying to pick between one or two guys, and it just throws another guy in the mix, and I think they just want to see who sticks. But, yeah, with how early they're selecting tight ends and just the amount that they're trying to use, I don't think they fully found their guy yet or really, you know, have a really determined what they're going to do at the position yet.
Yeah. Cardinals. Andre Ellington did a really nice job fantasy-wise, playing-wise last year. They go out and get a running back, David Johnson. Your analysis in your article says Johnson's the bigger back, but he's also a former receiver and was heavily involved in the passing attack. Ellington's more of a bruiser like Jeremy Hill, so you're not sure how this committee is going to work. Neither do I. What in the world were they thinking by drafting a guy that pretty much is an equal to Ellington instead of a complement to Ellington?
Right. You think size-wise they would get somebody like Jeremy Hill, but they didn't do that, and that's the big thing with David Johnson. They say he's basically almost like a wide receiver. I still really like Andre Ellington, though, and I think he's going to have a great year. I don't know how much Johnson is really going to complement him. I mean, he is a bigger back, but you don't necessarily use that his physique to really kind of push and power through people. So it's not a complimentary pick at all. And, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, so I don't know what they're going to do with that. But I still like Allen regardless.
I know that I read in a number of things that Ellington wore down as the season went, and I get that. I would think – I got to think most of these players wear down as the season goes on, and maybe they just assumed by getting a double of him that they could have him take more breaks during the games and kind of go back and forth like Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard do in Cincinnati, and that worked out well late in the season for both of those guys. So maybe they're thinking it's kind of the same concept. I guess that's my analogy, and we'll stick with it. Steelers pick Sammy Coates, wide receiver, basically putting him as the third receiver with Antonio Brown and Martavius Bryant. Steelers are kind of like the Baltimore Ravens. They really know how to draft players. Anytime I see somebody get drafted by either the Ravens or the Steelers, I assume that they're good players because they wouldn't have picked him if they didn't. I don't know anything about Sammy Coates. Probably won't be very fantasy relevant because he's the third receiver. But what do you know about the kid? What do you think his future beholds?
Yeah, I didn't do a lot of research on Sammy Coates, but I heard he's pretty good. Just for looking at fantasy-wise, though, I wouldn't put too much focus on him just because the Steelers don't seem to have two wide receivers who really can benefit. And they also have Pete Miller, who kind of cut into other people's fantasy production as well. So I think in long term it's a good pick to help boost the depth, but right for this season it's not really going to do anything.
Okay. Yeah, like you said, but the Steelers and Ravens all seem to know how to draft players that, you know, down the, 2 years down the road you're like, oh man, another steal for them. So we'll see. Rams take Sean Mannion. I assume that's how you pronounce it, Mannion. Obviously, Nick Foles backup. See how that works out. I don't know what you know about him. I don't know anything about him, so I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I'm going to join you in that. I was really surprised to even see his name there because I don't really know a ton about him either, and I really found it surprising that they took a quarterback there. So, I don't really have any great analysis on that there.
That's fine. Well, and you, who was the quarterback that you liked?
I like Brett Hundley.
And he obviously hadn't been picked yet because we haven't talked about him. When did Huntley get picked?
I think he went in the fifth round, and he went to the Packers.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's a nice place for him to be. Denver Broncos take a tight end. They have Owen Daniels, so obviously this is a backup tight end. Owen Daniels is not getting any younger, so I assume that, you know, the Broncos probably are in a really weird situation because – they're in a win now with Peyton Manning there, but Peyton Manning, just like Drew Brees, you got to retire someday. You got to think that they're planning a year or two down the road, and maybe obviously Owen Daniels might be done by then as well. So maybe this is a future thing. Like you said, rookie tight ends, you're not going to have much faith in. Know anything about this kid? Do we move on?
We move on.
Okay, we move on. All right, so Packers take a what they call it a full-time kick returner, in Ty Montgomery. He had a round five grade, but somehow went into the third round. Again, Packers are kind of like the Steelers and Ravens. They also seem to know how to pick players, too. So we assume that they know what they're doing, and this, you know, Ty Montgomery will probably be a fantasy stud like 4 years from now. So we'll say last pick, last in the third round, watch the Redskins take Matt Jones. As you wrote, good news for Alfred Morris, Jones doesn't catch passes either. Are you surprised that they took a similar guy to Alfred Morris? They lost Roy Helu. Should they have not gone after a Roy Helu replacement?
I think they're going to focus a lot more on just kind of pounding the ball. So I think it makes sense to have somebody to back up Alfred Morris.
Okay.
I mean, I think basically they're going to be throwing to DeSean Jackson and then running the ball the rest of the time. So.
Or Pierre Garçon, one of those two. Do you think, let's talk about that a little bit. Do you think that this is going to be a comeback year for RG3? Did you see something in your fantasy analysis over the last year or so that you believe he still got it, that either it was either mismanaged or injuries was killing him or what? Can he come back and be what he was his rookie season?
Yeah, I think the biggest issue is that he has his injuries, right, but he also has character concerns. And Steve Smith actually kind of called him out that he doesn't think he has a great work ethic. And I think a lot of the coaches in Washington want to come out and say that, but they just kind of fall short of saying those exact words that he's lazy. So I think it's a combination of he's a little beat up, he might not have the work ethic to start, and I don't see anything that I necessarily like to boost him as a sleeper or just say that he's worth starting, and I don't think he'll be playing for Washington outside of this year.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I look at it, too, and as I'm doing my analysis and preparing my stuff for this coming year, you know, looking at consistency, obviously the consistency wasn't there at all for him last year. I'm not sure I have much faith in this year. You know, somebody said the best team he could be on would be the Philadelphia Eagles because he would be perfect in that offense. It'll be interesting to see if Chip Kelly ever believes that, but that was what somebody's analysis was, and maybe not that far off. So, yeah, I was just wondering what your thoughts on that. So we got about 8 minutes left. Any other guys that were taken in the draft later rounds, so after the third round, that you think – was a great pickup by a team that will help either them, could have some fantasy value, may help fantasy value of other players on the team. Any guys out there that people that were drafted late that you think, hey, this guy, you know, being in that situation might actually benefit?
Yeah, in round four, the Bears picked up a running back, Jeremy Langford. And when you consider how old Matt Forte is and just kind of the general disarray of the offense, and Matt Forte was relied on a lot more to catch passes last year, he's going to start breaking down eventually, and it doesn't seem like they have a go-to number two guy to really step in and replace him. So I think that was an interesting pickup. And if you're going to draft more Matt Forte, I'm not a huge fan on handcuffs, but I think this is a guy that you're going to have to handcuff with.
Okay. They thought about they had mentioned that, I don't know if it was last year or before, with that Kadeem Carey. What happened with him?
Yeah, he just never found his way into any kind of role at all, and I really don't know what happened with him, and it seems like for taking another back in the fourth round, I mean, it's not the first, second, or third, but the fourth round suggests that they need somebody else.
Another guy, do you have another guy you want to talk about? If not, I have a name I want to bring up, and I'm not even sure how to pronounce it, but his first name is Jay, and it looks like J-A-J-E. Is that it?
Yeah, for the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, that was another interesting pickup, and I think they got a steal just because I think his injury was in 2011, and teams are still worried about his knee. They basically say it's bone on bone, and it's going to break down, but I think the Dolphins looked at it. And we have a guy who we can use for maybe 2 or 3 years, and Lamar Miller's in a contract year. So I think that was not necessarily risky, and I think it was a good move for him.
Yeah, I heard a lot of talk about that kid. Is that how you pronounce his last name, Ajayi?
Ajayi, yeah.
Yeah. And it was interesting because my first thought was, what's wrong with Lamar Miller? But like you said, I didn't realize he was in his contract year, so he's going to be playing, kind of going to be like DeMarco Murray last year, playing for the cash. And if he hits the free agency market, then that may be the guy moving into his spot. Anybody else that got picked that you think might have some impact somewhere?
I was just looking at my depth charts,
and I was trying to find some other guys.
Yeah, the most interesting thing I heard was Bruce Arians compare J.J. Nelson. He's 156 pounds. They compared him to Antonio Brown. So I really don't see that, but if he actually does go out there, that'd be pretty crazy.
Right. No, I was laughing at anybody compares anybody to Antonio Brown. I mean, the guy's one of the best out there. I mean, it's kind of, I mean, just, if they're the same height and the same same weight, that doesn't mean they're the same player.
Right.
Yeah, there isn't much. Let's say I'm looking around to see if anybody else jumps out at me, but I really don't see it. We've got a few minutes left. Talk a little bit about where you write. I know, obviously, you're at socalledfantasyexperts.com. Any other sites, your Twitter, where people can follow you, where they can email you if they have any questions regarding players that came out of the draft or just general fantasy questions?
Yeah, sure. My main website, which I started 2 years ago, is yourfantasyfootballcoach.com. And kind of like you, in the consistency sense, I was just kind of looking at more facts and figures, and I'm tired of people saying, oh, well, I think this strategy or that strategy is a good idea, but just not actually providing numbers for it. So when I first started my site, I did an entire team that had the same bye week. I did drafting two wide receivers on the same team. I did drafting quarterback in the first round just to see the results and actually post numbers on how that turned out.
That's cool.
My Twitter handle is yourffcoach, and I actually have a couple books on Amazon as well. I just came out with the Zero Running Back Theory, which you can find on Amazon, and it's a growing strategy and pretty popular. And I just kind of break it down, and I give people the tools to, you know, go and fish themselves. I hate just telling people to, you know, do this and follow it exactly. I want people to learn how to do things and be able to analyze things for themselves.
We got about 2.5 minutes. Tell me a little bit about the Zero Running Back Theory. Are you talking about zero running backs in the first round, zero running backs in the first three? When are you picking your running backs? And give me a little bit, kind of intrigue the readers that might go out and want to grab the book.
Right. So in 2013, I drafted Ray Rice, Stephen Ridley, and Maurice Jones-Drew, and my season was basically completely screwed. So I was trying to find more consistency in players who will bring you early value. So the zero running back theory, you draft wide receivers. You can draft them pretty much up to the fourth, fifth, or sixth round. It's basically how comfortable you feel. But it eliminates the risk of drafting guys like Arian Foster. And if you're in round two and you go, oh, I have to draft Mark Ingram because he's the best running back on the board, you don't have to follow that idea. You can basically select players who are going to return you value, and wide receivers are a lot more consistent. So it just takes away the inconsistencies and the injuries and the committee approaches of what you have to deal with the running backs.
Well, if you're talking consistency, you're talking my language. It's interesting you bring that up. Last year, and I probably will do this again this year, if I drafted early, and last year, like you said, this kind of burned me. If I was drafting 1-2-3, either 1-2-3 or 1-2-3-4, you know, I was picking Jamal Charles, LeSean McCoy, DeMarco Murray, or Matt Forte. Obviously, Murray and Forte worked out well. The other two, not so much. But if I was drafting later in the first round, so 8 through 12, I was going wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. And I would get 1-2, come back. Depending on the wide receiver there, I'd draft another one, get my third receiver, like you said, especially a consistent receiver, and then go pick quarterbacks and running backs after that. And those teams seem to do a little bit better, and I think I'm going to stay with that consistency this year with the way the draft. But, no, that's a cool theory, and I'm going to have to get that book.
Yeah, and just kind of a quick point, if you look at, I think Corey Parker was talking about how crazy Odell Beckham Jr.'s ADP is. If you look at the ninth pick in the draft, you can get Dez Bryant, and Calvin Johnson's available at 203. So you can own Dez Bryant and Cal Johnson in the first two rounds.
Right. Yeah. Right. All right. Well, thank you, Jack. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. We're on our way out here with about 10 seconds. Folks, don't forget to follow him at socalledfantasyexperts.com, where you'll see me as well. Everybody, have a good night, and we'll see you again soon. Thanks, Jack, for being on, and I'm sure we'll be in touch, and I'm sure we'll be on, have you on again sometime this season as we get closer to fantasy drafts. Thanks, Jack.
All right, thanks, Bob.
All right, man. Good night, everybody. Thanks, man. Appreciate you being on.